A very good afternoon to you. It's Tuesday, the 18th of January, and you're joining me, Ciara Noble, here for today's Kildare Focus. I'll be on air with you until 3 o'clock. And one of the main things I will be offering you today is money. Get involved in our Mystery Voices quiz. I'll be giving you a bit more information about that as the show goes on. Coming up, we'll be speaking to Dermot Good of Total Health Cover. Consumers are afraid to shop around for health insurance, and just why this is a bad idea not to shop around. Dermot will be reiterating that. If any specific questions for Dermot, do get them in within the next few minutes so I can put them to him while he's on air. It's 0833 97 97 97. We'll be speaking to our courts correspondent Frank Graney on Jim Mansfield Jr. He's been found not guilty yesterday of conspiring with a criminal gang to have his former head of security kidnapped. We'll hear more from Frank just after 2:15, I should say. Derek Yeo, the Chief Executive of GeoDirectory, joins us on their report on the residential property data for Kildare in 2021. Irish Rail on the services that were cancelled over the past few weeks in Kildare. They've resumed from today. And Sean Carolyn is the Director of the Old Irish Goat Society. A campaign is underway to give legal protection to the Old Irish Goat, a rare species indigenous to Ireland. There you go. So keep those texts coming in this afternoon for both Dermot Good in regard to your health insurance, but also in regards to the Mystery Voices quiz. 0833 97 97 97. You can also, of course, call Quiva. She is in Studio 2 on 045 901 490, and the email, as always, studio@kfmradio.com. Now, I do see a texter has been in touch asking about the boil water notice for Monastrevin and surrounding areas, North of Thigh, etc. That is still in place from Irish Water. 5,700 consumers are affected by that, so it remains in place, just to let people know in case they may not have heard. There hasn't been changes as of right now. So it's Monastrevin, North of Thigh, Kilberry, Kildangan, that area. As I said, 5,700 consumers there. Irish Water will, of course, keep us updated, and when we have the updates, we will be bringing them to you. But I am going to say good afternoon to you, Dermot Good. How are you doing?
Hi, Ciara. How are you?
A very happy 2022 to you.
And the same to you as well. Yeah, it seems like a distant memory now, Christmas. But anyway.
It does. It does. I'm already looking forward to Christmas 2022. I can only hope it'll be better. Dermot, one of the things that people have on the top of their list at this time of year is their health insurance. Whether they're renewing it for the new year or in the next few months, they're kind of trying to get up to date with everything. We know so many things in this country. Inflation is rising. Things are costing so much more. Health insurance is something that we can all save on, you're telling us.
Yeah, so at this time of the year, Ciara, actually in January alone, 500,000 people are due to renew their cover, but about 1 million people between December and, I suppose, the end of February. So it is the peak renewal period. So, and it probably, for a lot of people, probably couldn't come, maybe at a worse time. But what I would say to everybody now who has health insurance, yes, there are a lot of plans, unless there is confusion out there, but buried in those plethora of plans are fantastic deals. And, you know, the people who shop around each year and who do it properly and who ask the right questions, they get amazing deals. Like, they get the new corporate plans. Like, if you think of all the big employers, let's just say in the Kildare region, they're all on these latest corporate plans. And like, typical corporate plans are, you know, Inspire Plus from Laya, or the PMI 3613 from VHI, or the 4D Health 2 from Irish Life Health. Now, if anybody listening is on the same plan for 5 years or more and has never reviewed their cover, you know, they should be looking at those types of plans, because they're about €1,400 per adult. They're available to every consumer, and they give you money back on all your routine expenses. And they're the types of deals that, you know, people really need to be checking out. I suppose the biggest mistake that consumers can make, and a lot of your older listeners, Ciara, in particular, are more likely to fall into this trap, it's basically where they auto-renew. In other words, they do nothing. And the health insurance companies love those customers because they don't have to engage with you. You don't put them under any pressure whatsoever. They just charge you more for the same cover. And I would encourage anybody who has never really reviewed their cover, like, you want to keep a good standard of health insurance in place, but you don't want to be overpaying. And people are overpaying by €500 to €1,000 per adult, and that's not an exaggeration. So if you're worried about shopping around, get somebody, a family member or somebody that you trust, get them to do it for you or to help you with it. but the savings are too significant to ignore. So really, the message is now shop around to everybody.
Now, why did you use the word that people are afraid to change? I mean, I have to say their health insurance, that is. I have heard horror stories of people, you know, changing providers. And I don't know if this is the case of every single provider, Dermot, but there was loopholes and certain things they should have paid more attention to about certain care cover that wasn't going to kick in for 3 years into the plan, meaning that when this individual actually got sick, they had to spend a huge amount of money on their care in particular because it wasn't going to kick in until 2 years after the plan had begun. Is that happening as much for people, and do you think that's where the fear comes from?
Yeah, and maybe, Ciara, just to break this down. So, you know, absolutely. And the older the person we deal with, and obviously people who have existing conditions, they will be most fearful of change, which is perfectly understandable. Now, a couple of things. First of all, when I talk about switching, a lot of people straight away assume I mean switching to a different insurer. But like 5 times out of 10, we can get a client a better deal with their current insurance company. So lots of times you don't need to switch to somebody else. You can switch to a different plan with the same insurer. The second thing is, the legislation fully protects consumers. So if you're worried about having to reserve waiting periods, or you're worried about loss of benefits, or maybe having to pay age loadings, or not being covered for existing conditions, that doesn't happen, okay? Because the legislation basically is designed to make sure that everybody gets full credit for their previous membership. So if I am 15 years insured with VHI, and I'm thinking of switching to somebody else, they must give me full credit for those 15 years. And once I switch my renewal date, I'll be on the new policy straight away. Now, here's where people need to box clever. Some people don't engage with insurance companies properly, Ciara. They just pick a plan and they join it. And you see, that's where you can fall between the cracks. So what I always say to people is, look, if you identify another plan out there, it doesn't matter if it's with the same company or with a different insurer, you always pick up the phone to the insurance company and you simply tell them, I'm thinking of switching to this plan. Now, here's the plan I have. Now, tell me exactly how does that new plan compare to what I have? What stays the same? What am I losing? What am I gaining? And then, Ciara, here's the thing, and this goes against the Irish psyche. You know, the Irish psyche with insurance companies is tell them nothing. You know, don't disclose anything. Don't give away anything, right? But with health insurance, it's the exact opposite. You tell them everything. Mm-hmm. What's important to you? What conditions you have? What ongoing treatment you're getting? You know, everything, right? And then they then, in turn, once you give them those details, they will then confirm if all of that is covered by the new plan. And the people who approach the process properly, they get the best deals. Now, you mentioned one thing here, which is very important, that 2-year upgrade rule. So what that means is, and people sometimes, this rule is very fair, but the insurance companies, I think, don't explain it properly. So if Dermot Good switches to another plan that gives me better cover than my previous plan, so I'm upgrading my cover, if I'm perfectly healthy when I do that, I get the extra cover immediately. But if I already have an existing medical condition, I won't get those extra benefits for 2 more years, but the insurance company must still pay me the lower benefit that I would have got on my previous plan. So I should be no worse off whatsoever. But if you phone up the insurance company and discuss everything with them in detail in advance, then you're going to make a good decision, you know. And that's why if people approach it properly, you know, the people who phone up every year, tell the insurance company everything, you know. And even, by the way, sometimes people will ask me, well, what do I say to them? So, for example, you never phone up an insurance company and ask them what they recommend, because then they'll recommend what suits them. What you should be simply saying is, listen, here's the plan I have. Now, what's the closest equivalent plan across all your plans that closely matches what I currently have that's cheaper? And just sit back. And then if they suggest a plan, then you say, great, now you tell me, how does that plan compare exactly to my plan? Is everything the exact same, or is there something that's being reduced? They have to tell you everything. And Ciara, the people who play the game that way, they get fantastic deals. And if you do it properly, there are great savings. Unfortunately, too many people are afraid. And that fear, and I think sometimes that fear is played upon by the insurance companies because, you know, people stay on the same plans and they're missing out. Like, for example, anybody who's on the old Health Plus Extra with VHI, that's the old Plan B options, 2,740, or the old Essential Plus Excess with Leia, which I think is 3,083, or the old Level 2 Hospital with Irish Life Health, which is like 3,197. Like, those are good plans, but in my view, they're not good value. And anybody who recognises those plan names, I'm not saying that you should switch, but I'm saying you should shop around and have a look at what else is out there.
Give me those two names again so people, in case they missed it.
Yeah, so the kind of plans what we would classify as good cover but dated cover. So Health Plus Extra with VHI, which is the old B options, the Essential Plus Excess with Leia Healthcare, or the Level 2 Hospital with Irish Life Health. Now, they are good plans. So people on those plans do have good cover, but they're paying nearly €3,000 per adult for those plans. There are other plans out there that might be equally suitable that could cost them anything from €1,800 or thereabouts per adult. Like, in some cases, Claire, that's a saving of €1,200-1,300 per adult. That's
Dermot,
too big to ignore.
I've heard, I've spoken to you myself a number of times, and I've heard you on Kildare Today a number of times about this. And kind of from today, what I'm getting from this is it seems as if the Irish psyche has been the thorn in the side of people when it does come to savings in terms of your health insurance. It seems as if we are too private about what we need and what we actually want, because it will benefit us, which is something that I guess Irish people aren't used to, I guess, going out and asking exactly what they want and what they need. And that's something I think, you know, as a society, we're not great at. So I think we need to change the culture in that sense. And as you're saying, some people can save up to €1,000-2,000 per year. It's absolutely crazy savings, especially at this day and age and this time when things are so expensive, inflation is rising, etc. Dermot Good, we could speak to you for ages. I'm sure I'll have a lot of questions in the next few minutes in regards to different health plans. So hopefully we'll get back to you soon, Dermot, and we can go through some things. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ciara.
Now, apologies for that. I pulled down the wrong mic. I pulled down my own mic instead of Dermot's. We do have €110 up for grabs this afternoon. It's the mystery voices. You have three voices that you need to identify here. I'm going to play it for you. You need to get in touch with me. A few of you are all getting in touch or already getting in touch this afternoon. It's 0833 97 97 97. Just give me your name, where you are, and I may be calling you within the next half an hour, and you could be winning €110. So here are those three mystery voices. We have already identified one as Katie Walsh, so two others that you need to identify. So listen close.
Yeah. What now?
And
no.
Okay, I think we need to play that one more time.
Yeah.
What now?
And no.
Okay. Text in 0833 97 97 97 because I want to give you €110. I have it to give. I want to give it away. Now, we have our courts correspondent Frank Graney on the line. Good afternoon to you, Frank, and thanks for the time.
No problem. Good afternoon to you.
Now, yesterday we heard businessman Jim Mansfield Jr. had been found not guilty of conspiring with a criminal gang. That was to have his former head of security kidnapped. But he was taken into custody after being convicted of trying to pervert the course of justice. What can you tell us about the case in general?
Well, I suppose to put some context on all of this, you have to go right back to 2010, 2011. At a time when a number of the Mansfield Group's assets were in receivership or were in the process of going into receivership. Jim Mansfield Sr., the late hotelier, he died in 2014. And after his death, his children tried to regain control of some of those assets. Martin Byrne was the head of security for the City West Hotel when it was owned by the Mansfield family. That was placed into receivership in 2010. But he continued to work for the family afterwards. And one of the perks of the job was that he was allowed to live rent-free in a converted stables at the back of Mr. Mansfield's property. During the course of the trial, the judges were told that there was a dispute over who controlled this complex. And in May 2015, Mr. Byrne accompanied Jim Mansfield Jr. to a meeting in an industrial estate in Dublin. He gave evidence in the early stages of the trial. He is now a protected witness. He said that he was told that it was going to be with two businessmen, this meeting, but that he quickly realised that wasn't the case when he saw two members of the INLA there, Desi O'Hare and Declan Duffy. The court heard that he left the meeting when he saw that they were in attendance. Again, when he was talking about another meeting, this was a meeting a month later that he said that he reluctantly agreed to accompany Mr. Mansfield Jr. too, and he was told, or he said that he was under the impression that he was just meeting Desi O'Hare, but quickly realised that something was up when he saw Mr. Duffy there as well. And he said that when he went into an office, where the meeting was due to take place, he said Desi O'Hare turned to his former boss, Jim Mansfield Jr., and said something to the effect of, "Your work here is done." He said at that point, Mr. Mansfield Jr. then left the room, and that when he did, Mr. Byrne claimed five other men came in. He said he was told he had to leave his home immediately, and he asked for 24 hours for him to gather his belongings and to organise his family so that they could move out. He wasn't given that time. When he asked for it, he told the court that he was bundled into the back of a car. And before he was bundled into the back of that car, he said he passed Jim Mansfield Jr. as he was being brought out. And he said something along the lines of, he accused him of stitching him up. And he said that his former boss said nothing. He was bundled into the back of this car. He was assaulted a number of times. He was taken back to his home. His wife and his eldest son were there. He was held against his will in the house. And this whole ordeal, we heard, only came to an end when a local guard that just happened to come upon the scene and raise the alarm. The most serious charge that was faced by Jim Mansfield Jr. was, as you say, that he conspired with this criminal gang to have Mr. Byrne kidnapped in such a way. He denied any wrongdoing throughout. He claimed he didn't know what was in store for Mr. Byrne when he brought him to that meeting. And yesterday, the judges said that they didn't find sufficient evidence to prove the prosecution's case to the contrary. So he was acquitted on that.
And in regards to him being obviously found guilty, the defence counsel did apply for bail yesterday, saying that he had been acquitted of the substantive issue before the court and had always answered his bail. But they did remand Jim Mansfield Jr. in custody yesterday.
That's right. And this would have been in relation to the conviction for the second charge of perverting the course of justice. The court heard that he directed another employee of his, as it turns out, Martin Brothers Patrick, he directed him to destroy the hard drive of their CCTV system. And the judges were satisfied that was to destroy some footage that was relevant to the case. We heard that Patrick Byrne didn't, in fact, destroy this hard drive. He handed it over to Gardaí in due course. He did replace it with another unit. We heard that he took photographs of some of the footage that was relevant to the investigation, and he also downloaded it onto a USB stick. So he was found guilty of that. And as you say, throughout all of these proceedings, and this trial began in late 2020, so it's been going on for some time, but throughout, Jim Mansfield Jr. has been on bail. And after the verdict or the judgment was delivered by the three judges of the non-jury special criminal court yesterday, he did ask if that bail could be extended until his sentence hearing, which has been set down for February 7th. This was objected to by the state because of the fact that his status has now changed. He has been convicted of what they said was a very serious offence. The judges took a moment in their chambers to discuss it amongst themselves, and when they returned a few minutes later, they said that they were inclined to agree with the prosecution. This was a very serious offence, and he was taken into custody for the first time yesterday. And I think it's fair to say that he wasn't expecting it because he didn't seem prepared. He was dressed in a suit, and there was there were no other clothes brought to court with him yesterday. He clearly wasn't expecting to be taken away in custody, but he was ahead of that sentencing, which is due to take place next month, as I say.
Yes, the 7th of February, it says here, the prosecuting counsel did say that they need time to gather victim impact statements, but they did not believe such statements applied in respect of the charge for which Jim Mansfield Jr. has been convicted, which is trying to pervert the course of justice. Frank Graney, courts correspondent, thank you very much for joining. Personally, I think Tuesday is the worst day of the week. I don't know why. You're just too far away from the weekend. You haven't just been had a weekend, and you know, the weekend coming is like 4 days away. So this is the day you want to win money, and I want one of you out there to win some money. I have €110 up for grabs. There are three mystery voices here that I want you to identify. Currently, we have one of them identified, and that is Katie Walsh. I'm going to play all three, and I need you to text me in your name, where you're based, and hopefully I'll be giving you a call within the next 20 minutes or so. So listen in. Three voices here. We've got one identified so far. You need to let me know all three.
Yeah. What now?
And
no.
Play it one more time.
Yeah.
What now?
And
no.
It's difficult, but you've got, you know, 33% of the way we got there, and the correct guess came during this hour yesterday. So hopefully maybe we can follow the trend, and today we'll have a second right guess. So do get in touch. It's 0833 97 97 97. Joining me now on the line is Dara Kyo, Chief Executive of GeoDirectory. How are you, Dara?
Hiya, Ciara. Thanks for having me on your program.
No, thanks for joining me. We're going to discuss quarter four, the buildings report, the residential buildings, that is, and particularly the data for County Kildare. So 1,604 new residential address points in Kildare were added to the GeoDirectory database in 2021. And in quarter four, 2,240 residential buildings were under construction in this county. Good news for many people who are searching for properties.
Yeah, well, the added addresses is actually down 17% on 2021, so not so good news there. And nationally, we're seeing the same sort of trend of a 17% decline, but very good news on the under construction, where we're seeing actually a 47% increase in Kildare versus 21. And that compares to the national average of just 16%, which is the highest we've seen. So Kildare is really far and away on sort of building new accommodation. And one of the reasons for this, we think, is that because at the start of the year, 2021, in the first nearly 3.5 months, there was severe restrictions on construction, and that slowed the output down. But we saw a huge acceleration in the second half of the year. So, yeah, Kildare is doing well and under construction. We're very strong pipeline.
Yeah, obviously, we know the pandemic did stop construction work happening throughout this country in 2020 and for periods in 2021. So this increase, are we to take it with a pinch of salt? Because we'd say if a pandemic had never been declared, what would that percentage be with going into 2022? I'm sure we'd probably have more houses in the system already, and with additional buildings being built within the next 12 months.
Well, yes and no. What I think what these figures show is that there's been a tremendous response by the construction sector to the need for more residential dwellings, and that's a very positive thing to see. That even though they were choked at the start of the year, rightly so, because of COVID, that as soon as that was released, not only did they respond, they bounced back completely and grew much more substantially than you would have expected. So I think it's better than you would have hoped for. And it's nationally, it's the best. We've done these reports for 7 years, and it's the biggest under construction figure we've seen in 7 years. But that's how good it is. It's okay. Really, really strong response.
Okay, we'll so take good. Any good news we can possibly get, Dara. I'm sure you know the same. In regards to derelict addresses, though, there was 281 in this county in the fourth quarter of 2021. Earlier this morning on our newspaper review on Kildare Today, we noted that there's 90,000 derelict buildings in the country nationally. So 281 residential derelict addresses in this county. Is that a conservative figure, Dara?
No, it isn't a conservative figure. So what we have is we've two different figures. We have a vacancy rate, which is the 90,000. And there, what we mean by vacancy is sort of a place that you could move into almost straight away. You might want to decorate it to your taste, but, you know, structurally, et cetera, you can move straight in. Where a derelict will need substantial work to move to before you can move in. You couldn't, you know, holes in roofs, et cetera. So what we see in Kildare is Kildare, you see, in terms of vacancy rate, there's a natural level of vacancy for the market to really function well, and that is somewhere between 4% and 6%. And in Kildare, it's only at 2%. Now, actually, or 2.1%. Actually, Kildare is only one of six counties that has seen its vacancy rate increase in 2021 by a very small, very almost negligible level. But nevertheless, it did increase. And the derelicts is another story. Yes, there are, nobody wants derelicts, but there's always going to be a flow through the system. And again, Kildare has done better than the average. Kildare has seen a decrease in the number of derelicts in Kildare by 26% over the last 5 years. And that means that there's a whole rake of houses that have come out of being derelict, or buildings that have come out of being derelict and turned into residential homes. So that's a positive story as well. It's not going to solve, resolving the derelict situation isn't going to solve the problem. There's not enough of them. And in Kildare, what we're seeing with the vacancy rate, It's like nationally it's 4.4%, in Kildare it's 2.1%. It's a little bit tight. So yes, there are vacancies, but there should be some level of vacancies for the market to really function well, between people selling, people buying, people wanting to move in, etc. And I suppose that's where we've seen, how you see the effect of this is you see it in the house prices.
Yeah, and I guess we can note all the positives there, but unfortunately it will cause the house prices to increase. And the average residential property price in County Kildare, according to GeoDirectory, was $338,874. That was in the 12 months to October 2021. And 2,557 transactions took place. If we look at specific areas in the county, the highest average was in Selbridge at €388,912.
Yeah, it is. Kildare is one of the high cost centres for property. It's Dublin, Kildare, and Meath are the three highest. The average nationally would be somewhere around 321, and you can see there that at 338 Kildare is well above that. And in fact, if you take out Dublin, the average price drops to 250. You can see compared to 250, Kildare is well above that. And as you said, Selbridge is sort of, we looked at some of the towns, and Selbridge is the town that has the highest price for housing in residential dwellings in Kildare at 388, nearly 390,000 effectively. And the range goes, I suppose, from 278,000 in Kildare itself, all the way up to 388 in Selbridge. Now, on the way, Naas is 345. Newbridge is 300,000, so there's a bit of a range there, but that's where you see the pinch at the supply line, where the new addresses added didn't equal the demand. And having said that when we looked at a number of areas across the whole country, divided country into a number of areas, and Naas being one of those areas, and when we see that Naas still had the third highest number of new building transactions across the country, which is very good, strong, and yes. As you see, the prices are still at the high end because the demand is still,
Still, of course,
well ahead of the supply.
But if we're just looking at the expenses of the county as a whole, again, it's more north of the county where the prices are higher. Selbridge, 388,000. Yeah. So that kind of does contradict what we've heard from some people in regards to post-pandemic people will move from the central hubs like Dublin, our city centre, move, I guess, more rurally. But that doesn't seem to be the case in Kildare as a county.
Not in enough numbers anyway. Not yet in enough numbers anyway, Ciara. What we have seen is, the vacancy rates in some of the counties that had high vacancies, like Leitrim, had the biggest drop in vacancy rate because that was clearly people moving back out. And it's not like, you see, it's I suppose there's some people, but not enough volume yet that's happened with. And we'll only, it does relieve some of the pressure, and it also helps those communities. But you're right. The demand is still in terms of Kildare, is to live in North Kildare, closer to a shorter commute into Dublin. It is too early to say how COVID will affect the sort of 2-day, 3-day or model of maybe working from home. And that may change as we go forward. But right now, the demand is still quite high.
I'd say, Dara, some of our listeners would say North Kildare is not the place to live. I think some people won't like what you're after saying there. The whole county is a good place. South Kildare is great as well, I'm sure lots of them would say.
I am sure it is. I just mean in terms of the price.
I know
if you measure it by house price. If you measure it by house price, not by value or.
No, you can just insult our listeners. It's fine. No big deal, Dara. No
I apologise.
The Chief Executive of GeoDirectory, Dara Keogh, thank you so much for joining us. Now, just before I take a song, I'm going to play the mystery voice clip for you again. Lots of you are texting in. It's 0833 97 97 97. Hopefully I'll be calling, I will be calling one of you in the next 15 minutes or so, and hopefully it's you. So you have three voices to identify. We have one already identified, and that was from yesterday's Kildare Focus. So again, as I said, I want the same thing to happen today. Hopefully we'll have two of the voices identified by the end of the show at 3 o'clock. So listen in for the other two now.
Yeah. What now?
And
no.
So the voice identified so far is Katie Walsh. There's three voices in there. Keep texting 0833 97 97 97. Now, Sunday just gone. The full Sunday service did begin back again for Éireann Road Éireann. And yesterday, 97% of the services were operating. There was limited cancellations on the Newbridge to Hazel Hatch to Grand Canal Dock Houston commuter line. But good news for today, because all services are operating on all routes from today onwards. Joining me now is Barry Kenny of Irish Rail's Communications. Hi, Barry.
Hi, doing, Ciara.
Good news for yourself at Irish Rail.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for the whole country and for
all employers as well. It's been a challenging couple of weeks as the Omicron variant spiked. And of course, our employees have been doing the right thing in terms of where their close contacts isolating in accordance with the public health guidelines. And of course, with COVID cases staying out as well, it meant that we did have some unavoidable cancellations literally over the past fortnight from Tuesday the 4th. Through to yesterday. Right through that time, at all times, we had more than 95% of trains running. But obviously, any cancellations are regretted, but they were unavoidable, and I must pay tribute to the rest of the workforce who were very, very flexible in ensuring that we didn't lose more services. But the trends are certainly reversed, as they are in wider society. And so, as you say, from today, the full schedule is operating again.
Yes, and obviously I think people can understand for a certain period why sectors like Irish Rail and the travel sector in general obviously had unavoidable cancellations. We know the air travel was also very badly affected. In regards to rail travel over the pandemic, Barry, has it become more popular? Do you think now that restrictions are easing and there's conversations about restrictions as a whole regarding this virus being completely lifted by the end of this year? Has Irish Rail seen an uptake in people wanting to get back on the trains?
I suppose that the best guidance and intelligence on this is from late summer and September, October. Intercity has recovered very, very strongly. Obviously, if you go right back to the start of the pandemic when we were all in 2 kilometre restrictions and public transport was for essential workers only, we were right down at about 5% of normal demand. It really was a very, very limited numbers travelling, and we had a reduced timetable back then. But if you kind of bring it through to the summer when there was a lot more freedom to travel around the country, of course, and then that period in September, October, when you had more people back in offices, we probably got back to about 80% of the pre-COVID intercity demand, and the kind of commuter services then between about 60 and 70%. Now, you know, it's while people are still, as well, deciding longer term on the type of hybrid work that might happen or whether people are returning fully to the offices, demand is going to be suppressed for a while. But then I suppose that balances in line with, I suppose, you know, customers probably would wish at this point in time not to have trains as fully loaded as they were back in pre-COVID days, just while, I suppose, we're understanding if this is the end of COVID as a significant public health issue and something that we end up living with. So we are encouraged, I suppose, that we will see demand recover, but I don't think it's realistic to expect it to be anywhere near the full of pre-COVID during 2022.
Yeah, well, let's hope this pandemic is undeclared, I guess, soon enough. You're bringing me back to a time I feel like I've totally forgotten that 2K restriction. I forgot that even happened, Barry.
I know. Sorry.
No, do you know what? It makes me more grateful for what we have right now because I completely forgot about 2K. And I literally used to be there, like, being perfect about my 2K, not stepping a foot outside of that when I was on my my walks about 10 times a day. Thank you so much, Barry Kenny, for joining us, Irish Rail's communications there. See, that's why we should be grateful, because at one stage it was 2K we're only allowed to stay in. People may argue and say they've brainwashed you now, Ciara. You should be grateful for it all. But I am grateful for getting outside of 2K. Now, all day and all yesterday, we have been offering money and a chance of you to win this money. There's 3 mystery voices that we have played. Yesterday, during Kildare Focus, Margaret, she correctly identified one of the voices, who was Katie Walsh. And joining me now, I should have the next person who's going to attempt this. And I believe, Anne, you're on the line. How are you, Anne?
I am, yes. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Ciara.
Good. Can I say, it's a beautiful photo of you on your WhatsApp.
Oh my God, thank you very much.
It's stunning. You look lovely in the photo. What are you up to this afternoon?
I'm here practicing on my laptop.
Oh, very good. So did you just get into that in recent months, is it?
On and off.
Oh, fair play to you. And Anne, what made you decide to, I guess, try it out?
The bingo.
The bingo. Have you won? won much money on it since you've gotten onto the laptop?
A little bit.
Okay, okay. So it's come in handy then, this new skill of yours. And I am going to play for you the three voices and I want you to identify them for me. So listen in.
Yeah, what now?
And no.
Do you want me to play it one more time for you?
No, you're fine. I know I'm wrong.
Okay. Give me the three guesses, please. Don't say that. I want you to be right.
I said Dara O'Day.
Okay.
Dave McGrath and John Dunn. But I know now I'm wrong.
But Anne, I gave you one of the answers.
Yeah, I realise that now.
That's okay, Anne. Keep trying over the next...
I'm having a laugh, Anne. Yes, that was
well, keep trying over the next few days and thank you so much for texting in. You take care of yourself. Anne there, who's on the laptop trying to get her bingo winnings increased. And she did guess Dara O'Day, John Dunn and Dave McGrath. And I can tell you none of those are right. But what is right for one of the voices is Katie Walsh. So Ben is up at three and you have another chance to get involved. Lots of you texting in this hour. So again, text in 0833 97 97 97 from 3 o'clock this afternoon. Now going to my final guest this afternoon, I am joined by Sean Carolan, director of the Old Irish Goat Society. Sean, how are you?
Good, Ciara. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much. I wish I could have given €110 to somebody, but not to be this hour. Now, Sean, you're on to talk about the campaign that is currently underway. It's to give legal protection to the old Irish goat. It's a rare species. It's indigenous to this country. Where exactly would we see the old Irish goat?
Well, you see the old Irish goat on mountains and hills across Ireland, distributed within feral herds. Probably making up
Sean, unfortunately, you're just breaking up a little bit there. I don't know if you want to move around a little bit, see if we can get you some better coverage, because it's really interesting learning about this. I do love a goat. I find them very cute. I know some people are a bit afraid of goats, but I think they're very cute. I remember being a kid, being at a petting kind of farm, and a goat did attack one of the people I was with, so that was scary for them, but I've always liked them. Sean, are you back there?
Mm. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Perfect, perfect. Yes, now continue with what you were saying because you sound much clearer there.
Yeah, so they're distributed across Ireland in feral herds, maybe up to 20% of a feral herd in some cases where there's a strong old Irish element. We also have a captive breeding program. We've got 90 old Irish goats and they're in various counties, Donegal, Cavan, Westmeath, Howth and Mayo.
So a lot of the flock is in the western and northern parts of the country then?
Well, they're I suppose they're in a lot of mountain ranges really across Ireland. I mean, Wicklow is where the position has emanated from. So they're also in Wicklow as well, you know. So,
there's an estimated population in this country currently of less than 300. So obviously critically endangered right now.
Yes, they are. A critical endangered population, the minimum globally is 1,000. If you're less than that, you're critically endangered.
So we obviously then need to be legislating, I assume, to protect this native breed. But is it a case that farmers need to breed that type of goat more often or, I guess, get the herd numbers increased?
Yeah, well, what we need to do is re-domesticate the old Irish goat. The old Irish goat would have been the goat of Ireland up to the 1930s. And actually, it was actually exported into the UK in the late 1800s, early 1900s. In herds of about up to 900 goats would have been gathered in the west of Ireland, driven across Ireland, shipped into the UK and driven all over the UK in the 1920s.
Okay, unfortunately, Sean, we're just breaking up there a little bit from you and unfortunately we just can't fully hear what you're saying and hopefully we'll be able to get some more details out in the next few moments. That was Sean Carolan, the director of the Old Irish Goat Society. So last year, 25 old Irish goats were relocated from the hills of Mulroney to Howth Head, where they're being used to reduce the gorse cover in an area that has been plagued by wildfires. As we know, those fires did burn in the Howth area, approximately 65 acres. That was over several weeks last year. I don't know if people remember that. that. And obviously there was great efforts to contain the fires by both the Dublin Fire Brigade and the Irish Air Corps. That was Sean Carolan, as I said, speaking about them. The breed is around 5,000 years old and arrived in Ireland in roughly 2000 BC. So that's before Christ. That's a long time ago. Sean Carolan there, the director of the Old Irish Goat Society.